We're going to talk about the West Coast Eagles. We're going to talk about a number of aspects of the game. And I thought I'd invite this gentleman on the program because yesterday, before the game, the 1987 team, the very first West Coast Eagles team that ran onto Subiaco Oval behind Ross Glendening, who had been brought back from North Melbourne, where he won a Brownlow medal, led the very first Eagles team out to combat in what was then known as the expanded VFL competition before it became the AFL in 1990. The year after that, there was a young kid from Kareen Senior High School who bobbed up at the West Coast Eagles, was showing some darn good form at the Claremont Footy Club, was picked up by the Eagles, and in 1988 won the Rookie of the Year at the Eagles. And as a young boy, he supported North Melbourne, and he went on to become one of the Eagles' greatest ever. And as well as that, has had assistant coaching role and, of course, the main coaching position at the Gold Coast Suns. After all, he played 267 games for West Coast. Joining us is Guy McKenna. Bluey, thanks for joining us on the program. Have we got Bluey there? Hello, Blue. How are you?
Yeah, it's good, mate. You there?
Yeah, I've got you. I gave you a great rap and all of a sudden you weren't there, but you're there now. How are you?
Yeah, really good, mate. All the better for speaking to you, of course.
Great day yesterday for your former club, the West Coast Eagles. I know I've spoken to you once before, it might have been sometime last year, about the pain that everybody associated with the Mighty Eagles had been going through. But there's nothing like a win just to make people believe again. And no doubt it came yesterday against the Richmond Tigers. Before we talk more about yourself and your thoughts on issues, that win was so important yesterday, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, look, so much, mate. I mean, look, it's not the panacea, but it's certainly something. It's something for a bit of, belief. I'm sure the player, belief in Simo and game plans and stuff like that. Right now, they wouldn't be interested in that. Yeah, they just want to get across the line and have a win. I mean, obviously, the season last year was last year, of course. This year, I sort of anticipated it being a bit harder. But to get a win against a former premiership side just recently, I mean, it's really good. It's at home. And obviously, from a nostalgic point of view, the fact that the old 87 crew were there watching as well, did that help them? I'm not too sure. You know, most of those boys, Chris Waterman, I don't think he was in 87. He joined when I joined the year after. But, some of the boys running around that obviously had close connections with some of the fathers and certainly would have knocked around with them. It was a great day for the club.
Tell us about that period. It was trailblazing, the West Coast Eagles in then the expanded VFL. You went there in 1988, won Rookie of the Year. And the following year, I think you won the West Coast Club Champion in 89. And then 10 years, you won that champion player again at the West Coast Eagles. Tell us about those early days when you went down and all of a sudden you saw Ross Glendening and some of these luminaries from West Australian football representing the VFL.
Oh, yeah, well, Roscoe. I mean, I was a North Melbourne fan, as you said in the intro, and and that was the Crackers. I remember standing out there in 87 when the boys were playing, and I wish I was trying to rough up Phil Cracker at that stage. I think they beat North at Subi that year, and I was filthy as I left the ground because they used to say they were my VFL club, and the Crackers came from Claremont. And there was a lot of, early days before drafts and trades and all that sort of stuff, a lot of it seemed, or to me, that a lot of Western Australians, maybe because of the connections in the back office side of things, that they either went to Carlton or North Melbourne. And for some reason, I just preferred the look of maybe my junior Sorrento football club. I used to play for Sorrento or Gold, but one of the other sides was Sorrento White, which was the North Melbourne colour. I think ours were Hawthorn colours, but I fell in love with North because of the Crackers and Roscoe running around, and then some of the other, David Dench, some of the other West Aussies, Phil Kelly, of course, father of Josh and all that sort of stuff. So there was a lot of Western Australians playing. So, yeah, I befriended them and followed them through the 80s and obviously into the 90s. Obviously, I had to change ship, of course, because I was playing for West Coast. But, mate, as I said, the first year, I can't speak for the first year, but even the first few years, until Mick got over, the things that we were doing from a training, and which made me scratch my head, we were probably still doing when I went to the Gold Coast into Mounter Bulls and training on back ovals and all that sort of stuff. If you look at the professionalism of the AFL now compared to certainly 87, as I said, I can't speak for, but I do hear some of the stories. But early 88 and 89, even with under Toddy, I mean, what Toddy had to sort of coach us through, and the availability of ovals and home grounds and all that sort of stuff. But, yeah, it was a scratching moment, that's for sure.
Pretty special at Mineral Resources Park now, formerly known as Lath Lane Oval, is where the West Coast Eagles are housed. Bluey, you were part of an Eagles team that certainly had a very powerful midfield. There's no question about that. I know Chris Judd came to the Eagles a couple of years after you finished, I think, in 2000. Juddy arrived around 2002. But they're now all of a sudden, even though Peter Sumich came out and said, don't expect Harley Reid to be a Chris Judd, because Chris Judd was a Rolls-Royce, and there's only one or two scattered players like Chris Judd that have played AFL football and had the impact that he's had. But what are your thoughts on Harley Reid and what you've seen of him? Because over here, it's been just manic. All of a sudden, he's got the number nine jumper. And I reckon the Eagles are trying to sell as much merchandise of Harley Reid now as they did with Nick Natanui, who wore the previous number nine.
Yeah, look, he's certainly standing up. But, yeah, when I say Summer's right, but, I mean, when I went to Gold Coast, again, you speak about North Melbourne, or Blighty was there, I was watching him play, and then, you know, fortunate enough to work with him up in Gold Coast. He took 8% of the players that do join the AFL of the draft. You know, it's going to take them 3 to 4 years to find their feet. You know, the 20%, like a Jager O'Meara for me, you know, the rare ones, and Harley Reid will be, I think, by what I've said earlier, it'll be.
You might just move around a bit, Bluey, just breaking up a bit. Just take a couple of steps to your right or left, mate, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, that's awkward because I'm just sitting in the car, mate, and I've stopped, so I'll get out.
It's okay. I can hear you better now, mate.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So, look, I mean, it's very hard right now to compare him with Juddy. As I said, I retired, he stepped in, and he played the first game for East Perth, and that was the last, I think Tony McCarlson at the time, that'll be the last time he wears the black and royal blue at East Perth, and he was right. But he's certainly built for it. He's obviously got a mind to absorb the pressure on the field, but also the pressure off the field, which we're going to keep coming because obviously, you know, there's been days and days of him all over the back page. But again, as long as he shuts all that stuff out, I'm sure he'll be fine. But yeah, the club and his support network around him are going to help him with all that sort of stuff. But yeah, he's certainly hit the ground running. But yeah, like most young kids and even Juddy in that first year, I mean, to manage him, you know, sort of instead of playing, you know, three or four games all in the midfield, you know, rest him to half forward or play him off half back, play him on the wing, you know, and it's not so much to get him used to those positions because ultimately, like Juddy, like all the superstars that hit the ground running, well, their main position will be on ball and inside where the game's won and lost. So it's more just to physically, you know, get him through a season. And I remember having conversations with, you know, Dion Prestia, David Swallow, West Australian, of course, same thing. Or, you know, this week I could rest you. Would you prefer not to play, or you want to play off half back? Someone who's just less combative, so he can get through a game somewhere. And that's, I'm sure that's the club will be thinking about managing that way.
Could I ask you a question without notice? I sort of vented my frustration at this goal review system at the moment. As we know, technology wasn't where it was in your day compared to where it is now, where they just review everything. But I reckon it's a blight on the game at the moment, Bluey. How do you see it?
Yeah, well, like I say to the players where I'm coaching at the moment, Caulfield grammarians, you know, don't worry about, you know, screaming at the, carrying on with the umpires. Umpires umpire, players play. Just get on with it, you know. And I said, I've never seen an umpire change his mind and a few hands will go up. And Bluey, all the goal umpires do now. Well, yeah, of course they do, because the score review. I reckon Peter Sumich should be jumping up and down for a score review back in the tied final, that's for sure. He reckons it was a goal. I'm not fussed. It is what it is. It's never going to be perfect. It's like the cricket ones, mate. It's like the tennis. You know, all the sports that have gone down that path. There's always an inherent. But again, I'm a bit of traditionalist. So I've always loved the Aussie rules, because is it holding the ball or holding the man, or is it, you know, pushing the back, or is it holding the, all those sorts of things. It can flip and flop, and that's the human. Just the human way and the human nature. So it is that way, but if there's technology there that can help and do all those sorts of things, as long as it can help and step in, well, you know, let's do it. But there, yeah, it's still the perfect system. But, you know, I don't think, well, mate, we won't be on earth when they find the perfect system, that's for sure.
Yeah. Guy McKenna is joining us here on Sports Day WA. Bluey, you were the inaugural coach of the Gold Coast Suns. That was back in 2011. Here we are, 2024, and they're yet.
And I'm still the most successful too.
Yes, still the most successful. Do you expect to be surpassed by Damien Hardwick? They had a good win on the weekend. Hardwick's gone up there like the martyr, in a sense, to sort of save the Gold Coast Suns. Do you think he will in time?
Oh, well, mate, well, without being, I'm not having a go at Damien here, but I think Dewey's done a lot of work as far as the foundations and putting games into these kids. Like, you know, someone said, is it Lukosius? Someone played their 100th game. I just about fell off the chair. And so that's the thing. And again, I don't look at the ages. I just look at games experience. And like, I only go back to when I was coaching Gold Coast. And, you know, we started with about 780 games of experience. And then my second last game of my my fourth year, we'd actually got less, as in less games of experience. And you just go, well, how's that figure? Well, okay, I won't go through all the numbers, but the good thing about it was that David Swallow, in 4 years at AFL football, probably played about 60 or 70 games. You know, we'd have missed a few through injury and all that sort of stuff. Harley Burnell was the same, Dion Prestia, all the players that we wanted to. And we identified, if I can say it nicely, as the Dirty Dozen. There's a, you know, a core group like we had at West Coast that saw us through, or we identified a core group of players at Gold Coast and said, we've just got to maximise the game and get these kids playing like men as soon as we can. So we set out to do that as best we possibly could. Things were rocking and rolling. So you know, sort of take it back another 3 or 4 years when Dewey took over from Rodney Eade, and he sort of settled the list, settled the players down, and then he's pumped, because probably the last few years of their really good drafts, I mean, he's pumped 50, 60, 70 games into these blokes. So Dimmer's now, instead of like Dewey, Rocket, myself, instead of getting a side that, you know, game experience is in the bottom four, I think last I looked, they might have been sixth last, Gold Coast. And then obviously with, you know, obviously this season going forward, they're going to finish sort of around the eight. So they're a lot more experienced as far as how to play the game. So Dimmer's probably got them at a really good time. I mean, I still think, I mean, they probably could and should make finals this year, but they'll be the bottom part of the eight. But then after that, the boys get a sniff and a feeling of finals, because we all know finals is another kettle of fish. You know, the next few years they'll be frightening, I think.
Mm. So you reckon they'll go that well? So you're not dismissing the fact they could play finals this year then?
Yeah, I think so. Well, again, I forget where they finished last year, because again, it's the old, you know, sort of the draw, sort of where it can be sort of divided by six, six and six, as in the bottom six, the middle six and the top six. So the top six, obviously, well, they play themselves twice and then each of the other clubs once. The bottom six sort of play each other twice as well. So that's why you always get one out of the bottom six that's just emerging, because they get experience, they make some good trades, get some older boys back in as well, or whatever the case may be, get some players back from injury, and then all of a sudden, the bottom six side, and again, I just look at when I was at Essendon, of course, when all the players were suspended, and then Heppel and Watson and all these, so we finished down the bottom, then we got a super easy draw, but we basically had 12, you know, well, not 12, but at least six All-Australians come and join us. Well, yeah, we went from, you know, last or second last, we went straight into the eight, into the final series. Well, why? It wasn't because of our great coaching. It was just Watson turned up, Heppel turned up, Hurley turned up, Bell Chambers turned up, Hooker turned up. And you think about that. You go and put any of those boys in, say, North Melbourne right now, or put them at West Coast right now, and with the draw, you know, and the soft draw they'll get, because it should be playing all the bottom sides more so, you watch them scoot up the ladder real quick. So, yeah, there's a tipping point with all that, and certainly Gold Coast are closer to becoming a, you know, a 2000 sort of, I always say, anything over 2000, you should be in most games. You know, like 2 years ago, Geelong won the final, for example, and their experience was 3,700 games. You know, we said Gold Coast in the early days and Dewey's day, and we had 700 or 800, or go figure. How are you going to hold up against a side that with 3,000? I mean, wasn't that big back then. It was more like 3,000 with the big clubs, you know. Mm. How can you compete? That's why I used to say it's like the year 10s playing the year 12s. Well, you'd be able to compete for a time, but ultimately you're just going to run out of juice. And that's what young sides do.
In fact, I did a function with Johnny Worsfold not that long ago at the East Perth Footy Club, and I brought that Essendon scenario up. And he still claims, of course, with you by his side, that when you lifted the Essendon during that supplement saga from where they were and when all the players came back into the finals, It was probably his greatest coaching achievement. That's how much he believed in what you guys did to turn things around. Do you agree with him? Is that one of your greatest moments to see where Essendon were and where they ended up within 12 months?
Yeah, look, I've never said this publicly. I said it to Woosh of the day it actually all unfolded. But, yes, to answer your question, there's a part of that, but the part I love was the part before that. Was, you know, sadly for the players, it was suspended. No one wants that to happen, but that's the rules. We can't change. It's like the umpire, like you were talking, you were talking about before. Once they make their call, they make their call. Anyway, so that call, and I just looked in front of all the players. It was that those players were off somewhere in another hotel getting the news read out to them, the sad news, of course. And I was standing at the back of the room. I remember going to Woosher after it. I said, mate, sorry, but I wasn't a smile on my face, but when that decision and Xavier Campbell had tears in his eyes and some of the players were emotional as well in front of us. But I just thought to myself, how do you understand the opportunity you blokes have got now? You've got 12 of some of the Essendon's best players, you know, all Australians, all that moving out. Like Zach Merritt, for example. So he went from 75 centre bounce involvements the year before, and we had 350 that year for him. And so you wonder why he's the player he is right now. But if Job Watson or Dyson Heppel had been there, he wouldn't have been allowed that opportunity. He might have got 100, or we would have progressed him, but it wouldn't have been 350. Darcy Parrish was another one. So, you know, all those players, Kyle Langford, all, you know, so there's a part of me that, yeah, it was sad for the players, but also, hey, boys, do you understand the opportunity you've got? Race out and grab it with both hands. Yeah, collectively, we're going to get smacked, but when the cavalry arrives next year, we're just going to be 20 games better, 22 games better, 18 games better, depending on how many of those boys play, the young kids play. And then when the senior boys come back, look out. And so, yeah, it was a special time. I mean, obviously, it was a sad time for the club and the members and supporters. But for those players that were able to weather the storm for 12 months and, you know, learn some grit, learn some hardship, which is fantastic, delivered clearly, and so it should have been. And we're able to resurrect it next year, but on the back of those players, those senior players arriving, and we just slotted those kids that had that experience to help drive them. But their resilience because of what they'd endured the year before. I think the senior players were very surprised about how they had weathered that storm and how mentally, not so much physically or technically, but certainly mentally, they're able to adjust to the hurly-burly.
Finally, Bluey, of course, Australian Football Hall of Famer. You were inducted a number of years ago, I think it was about 2009, one of the revered individuals to play this great game. Finally, and I appreciate your time, what is the word now for the West Coast Eagles fans? People that follow the club, respect you for what you did for the football club all those years. You played, I think, from 1988 to 2000. It was also during those glory years, those two premierships in 92, yeah. 94.
Lucky.
What do you say, to the West Coast Eagles fans who feel pretty good today after winning their first game of football yesterday for the season?
Patience. Just be patient. And, you know, and yeah, there's going to be some more days like the other day, yesterday. And I remember just at a recent function over here at East Coast, and Elliot Yeo and Puddinguts McGovern were there, and they were talking about, you know, being competitive and wanting to win. And I said, well, of course you are. You have to do that. But I said, you guys need to learn patience real quick, because you're playing with a bunch of kids that you don't know how they're going to turn left, they're going to turn right. Yes, they can play football, not disputing that, but when they pick up the ball, you don't know whether they're going to zig or zag and all that sort of stuff, so you'll be in a little bit of less confidence. You won't be able to play fully like the way you want it, because you don't know which way they're going to lead and balk and talk and do all those sorts of things. So just be patient. And I said, become the best on-field coaches and off-field coaches, because what you need to do is teach these young kids as quick as you can the art of playing football at the highest level and being consistent. And unfortunately, that consistency takes time. But, yeah, and so for the fans, yes, yesterday was fantastic, but don't expect it every weekend, because, again, little bits of gold nugget with some of the players all of a sudden is going to disappear. You know, it could be next week, could be the week after, who knows? It's a great shot for confidence and all that sort of stuff, but one of my mottos up in Gold Coast, I obviously wouldn't say this publicly or to the players, but behind closed doors, kids, like your own kids at home, they'll be consistently inconsistent. Well, they don't mean to be. It's just they mentally can't switch on for 120 minutes. They might be able to do it for a week, might be able to do it for 2 weeks. Harley Reid might be able to do it for the first 5 weeks. But guess what? At some stage, something will give, and he mightn't be able to do it for 60 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever the case may be. And there'll be other players out there who can do it for 5 minutes and going to have 10 minutes off. Then they'll come back for another 5 minutes. And it's just going to be yeah, it's going to be hard to sort of swing the deck chairs around. So I said, just be patient. Yeah, there's going to be some days like there were yesterday. But most of the time, they're going to, you know, fight for periods of the game, and then there's just going to be those down periods. And against those down periods, as we found at Gold Coast, against good size, guess what? You might go backwards 5 goals. You know, against a side that's probably down the bottom, you might only lose it by 2 or 3 goals, you know, in the game. So there's going to be different phases of the game, and you just hope, you know, and for them, obviously hoping that their senior players hold up, and that's the management of those players is going to be the most critical of anything. I mean, obviously the young kids, that's a given, but the old boys are, because they have to carry the load. And, you know, you think about the old boys that left, you think about the period they've played in. They've had mature players around them for, you know, 6 or 7 years. Now they've got a bunch of kids, you know. Mm. All of a sudden they're actually running around with the year eights, and they've got to carry some load, because the year eights won't be able to sustain it for matches. They won't be able to sustain it for weeks. So they're going to have to pick up some slack. And so the management of them through the week and at the and match day is important as well. So, yeah, just be patient. It's good. I mean, the signs are there. Yeah, it was fantastic. It all came together on the weekend. But, you know, the first previous weeks, all of a sudden everyone's scratching their head thinking, what the hell's the club doing now? We just can't, after one win, go, hooey, that's it, we're all fixed. That's
yeah, not fair gonna call. Be the case. Yeah.
Just to let everyone know, just quickly, mate, we beat Port Adelaide our very first game. I'm sure this won't happen. We beat Port Adelaide for the first win at the Gold Coast. The next week, Essendon kicked 15 goals in the first quarter. In the first quarter, mate.
First quarter, wow.
First quarter, yeah. It was actually Kyle Reimers, the West Aussie bloke. He ended up, not. I think he kicked 6 or 9 for the day.
Wow.
We were 15 goals. I'm not sure we kicked one. We may have kicked one in the first quarter. 15 goals to 1, mate.
Unbelievable.
So that was the very next game, so...
There you go. That's the reality. Bluey, thanks for joining us. I'll let you get back in your car, mate, and drive home. Thanks for spending some time with us. I know everybody here throughout Western Australia love hearing from you, and we appreciate your time. All the best.
Pleasure, Pedro.
Good on you. That's Guy McKenna joining us here on Sports Day WA. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more in a moment.